Welcome to our newest adventure for first responder wellness. No one fights alone. In-depth conversations about mental health and culture in the first responder space. We're joined by your co-hosts, Austin Pedersen and Brad Shepard.
Austin, man, it's great to have you back. It's good to see you. I've done a couple podcasts without you, buddy. I miss you, bro.
Don't lie.
No,
just lying and yelling at me in the first 10 seconds.
That's not it. It's passive aggressive shit, right? Yeah.
Who would you be without being passive aggressive?
I know. Hidden. You have taken on your new role, and you just are sparse with time, right?
That's what I tell myself, at least.
Well, I mean, it's true. You got a lot. You do have a lot. I mean, in all seriousness, you have a lot going on.
Everything well. Yeah. Next week's marriage day.
Right?
So once that's behind me, then everything will be fine.
Do we want to actually, you know what?
There's two people in this room.
Hit
that
the
are
pause on that
June.
Because I want to introduce, because I think they probably have something to say about this. So, so we have John Corcoran, who's one of our staffers here out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. And Johnny Lawton, full-time firefighter up in Oregon. We have those two guests with us today. So I know John has a lot to say about this topic, so I want to introduce that. But we are getting married.
Yeah, me and you.
Not you and I.
Yeah. No, John was just bragging about how much his wedding cost compared to mine.
But John's getting married.
Yep.
So we have a couple guys here fixing to go into the marriage arena. And what'd you tell me yours was? About a month?
I know. June 15th.
Oh, shoot. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
You want to know a fun fact about mine?
I would love fun marriage facts.
Not on purpose, and this could be set up for complete success or failure, but I am getting married on 6-6-2-4. 6-6-6. That's a dangerous ball game. Not on purpose.
But.
Yeah.
Easy to remember.
Yeah, totally.
You won't, and I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yes,
you will.
Will
not, should not. Forget an anniversary.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, it's true.
June 6th, you'll forget.
Don't put things on the table that.
I'm just stating, Johnny. How easy is it to forget?
You know, if you have Google Calendar, you can put it on there.
I do.
Know 12 hours ahead of time. Hey,
yeah.
You better get on the ball.
Yeah, that's how I saved my mom's birthday today. It's her birthday, and I have it on my Google Calendar.
Mom's birthday?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, Queen Happy Melissa, birthday. As we call her.
So, John, tell us a little bit about your role at Chateau and kind of tell the listeners. I mean, I know we know, but tell the listeners kind of what do you do? What do you
some
do
at Chateau? Some may know. You've been on two?
Yeah, we've been on a couple times,
Maybe reminder. Three. How about, let's pose it that way because it's been a minute since we've had you on.
So my role is I am one of the alumni coordinators on the first responder side. It's me and Lisa, and we split the – country down east west, and she takes all the west people, west coast people. I take all east coast, midwest.
John's the OG, is what we call him.
He is the OG.
He's the OG alumni person.
Yep.
When did we first have that conversation? 2021.
Remember how cold it was? We were in Minnesota. And
oh yeah.
Recorded a podcast. It was cold.
Yeah, I think we were in the Mall of America. Okay, this is a weird memory just popped up. John was taking us through the Mall of America, and then this subject got brought up. I remember I was wearing a fucking pea coat, freezing my ass off.
You actually had to go buy a coat.
Yeah. That was the second time. That was the second time.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Okay. But that's, 2021, I think it was. We opened up the alumni discussion. Then I went dark on John for a year. He didn't know in the background I was in somebody's ear, because that's just how long it takes sometimes. And then a year later, we finally got it going, I think, right?
Yeah, about 2022, we got it going. We got it up and running. And it
slow
was,
start.
It was just me doing all the first responders, and it was a big task. And, you know, we had ideas, and we had a lot of ideas that we wanted to bring to light. And this weekend, we're kind of seeing one of those bigger ideas come to light.
Mm-hmm.
With the alumni reunion, the first one, A long time you and I have been talking about it.
Well, tell us more about alumni reunion.
So we came up with the idea when we first, Austin and I sat down and talked about the alumni program. It was, you know, what we wanted it to look like, what kind of level of care and attention we were going to give our alumni. And we wanted to give them the top that we could do with the time and the personnel we had. The ball just kind of got rolling. We came up with the Zoom meeting, the first responder Zoom meeting, which we have every Wednesday night. And then it was, hey, wouldn't it be cool someday to throw an alumni reunion for anybody that's gone through Chateau? Come back out, see the house again, get that nostalgic feeling again, and then incorporate and just kind of refresh some of the teachings that you get taught at Chateau, some of the tools, some of the practices. And it kind of laid dormant for a couple of years, that idea. And earlier this year, I pushed a little bit more for it and everything. And Kyle, bless his heart, he's done a great job planning this. He pushed, and Danny was okay, you know, let's do it. And it was crunch time. It was that we got the go-ahead about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and we put this together. And so it's going to be a 2-day event out here in Midway, Utah. And we got about 70 alumni coming into town with maybe a significant other or a plus one. And we got some very cool events planned. We got, you know, a live band, and it's very humbling from when we sat down at breakfast one morning and threw out the idea of an alumni program and what we did and what we wanted to do for our clients, because the conversation rose out of, hey, how was your experience at Chateau? And I said, you guys do a great job of getting us out there. You do an even better job of treating us. But where I feel like you guys are dropping the ball is when we walk out of the house. We're on our own. There's no, hey, you know, I want to bounce an idea off somebody, or I'm going through this, I need some support. And we got to talking, and they were like, what does it look like? And I said, hey, it's, you know, you have a couple different coordinators, and they get assigned clients as they come out, and they check in with them frequently their first couple months out, and then kind of tapers off to maybe once every 6 months, twice a year, until the client has a year under their belt out of Chateau. And then you're forever an alumni. You're always welcome to the Zooms. You're always welcome to, we have the group me chat, which you created, which is, I think I last looked, has 76 members in it. And those are first responder members. And the group me chat is just another layer of support we've put in place here at Chateau. I mean, you can get on that group me chat in the middle of the day, go, hey, I just had this happen to me. I'm in crisis. I need some support. And I don't exaggerate this. You will have 10 responses. Here's my phone number. Call me. Hey, are you available for a call? Some people type out, hey, I'm in here to support you, whatever you need. I mean, it's just the layers that we've put into this alumni program are, I think, very cutting edge. And with the alumni reunion coming up this weekend, it's just the icing on the cake. The word's going to get out that, hey, I went out to Midway for a weekend, the reunion, and I'm very excited to see what the next one looks like.
You know, I think it's interesting, and Austin, you probably have a much broader perspective on this, but I think it's interesting that the alumni program's not mandatory. That's completely voluntary. And you have these people who recognize, well, I won't call them people, our former Chateau family members who have been through Chateau and now have gone back to living their lives with a new set of tools and a new mindset, a new perspective. And it becomes very challenging. Most recently, I talked to one myself that said, I'm learning how to walk again. It feels like learning how to walk again. And I know that's a very common sentiment among alumni. Several of you saw a need there, a space, and that's how the alumni program started. I think it's amazing.
Yep. And to put it kind of into context that people understand, it's like when you're a kid, you're building the Lego set. You know, you get the directions, you build it, and maybe Big Brother comes and kicks it over, stomps on it, and that's what kind of like people are going through, is all the pieces of life got scattered all over the floor. They come out to Chateau. We give you the tools. We give you that piece of paper, that direction set on how to put that Lego, metaphorical Lego set back together, and you rebuild your life. And these people in, you know, I think you said it great, our Chateau family of people that have gone through our program take it so seriously that it's not a mandated thing that they have to do. It's totally, I'm here because I want to be a better person than I was yesterday.
So Johnny being one of them, let's get Johnny involved in the conversation here a little bit as well, because we were having a great conversation at lunch about how do you feel about the alumni? I mean, obviously you're here for the reunion. You know, I was telling Ben a while ago, I said, I can already feel the excitement. You know, there was a tension. We went over to the community center a minute ago and you could feel it. I could feel it. I mean, you know, we're getting there's this vibe starting to, you know, roll in with, and now you're starting to see familiar faces and there's an excitement generating. And how do you feel about being back?
I'm excited. I feel home. I feel like I'm at home. And I think I shared with you too, I think the main feeling that I'm having is just an immense amount of gratitude, for this area, this facility, this program, the staff. And it's so nice to walk in and see so many familiar faces, a couple new, but so many familiar faces, and the smile and the hug and, you know, how are you doing, you know, and, it's nice to be home. And let me set the record straight. I work in Washington, not Oregon.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to correct
you. Yeah. That's a classic Brad move.
I usually mess up their last name.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised you said his last name right.
But yeah. You nailed it. Well, it is a city out of Oklahoma, so that does help, right?
Yeah.
I'm just, when I heard that this was happening, there was no way I wasn't not going to be here, you know. And so, yeah, I left Tuesday night. I was that excited because my plan was to leave Wednesday morning, get a good night's rest, jump in the truck early, start making my way down. And you know, John asked, he's like, hey, if you come down early, you could sit in on this meeting with me, our first responder meeting on Wednesdays. And I said, yep, done. And threw my stuff in the truck Tuesday night, left the house at 8 p.m., made it to Pendleton, Oregon, pulled into a rest stop, jumped in the back of the truck, cut some Z's, and woke up at 5 and took that sunrise picture and just started making my way down. So,
I think that's where the Oregon thing came in for Brad.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It's a good bail. Yeah. Thanks for the bail.
No, come on.
He's got to make excuses for his bad memory. Yeah.
Why you got to be a hater?
Just look at his face, though, you know? Like,
it's like an invitation.
Yeah, yeah.
Give him shit.
If I was nice to him, then he'd be questioning what's going on. Yeah.
I do want to visit something that I think is really important, and I was thinking about this a while ago when you were describing the immense amount of work that has gone into this, and I want to come back to, Johnny, to your perspective on that, but I do want to kind of time out because I think this is important. There's been some people that have really focused in and applied some really an immense amount of work towards this. You want to give that team a shout out?
Absolutely. Kyle Lovridge. I mean, he has taken this challenge on and met it head on, and he has really come through. I mean, he has coordinated this whole thing with getting facilities for us to use, planning events, even down to little stuff about how many napkins we're going to need or how much food we're going to need. And Faith, Lisa, we have been planning this to the point where about a month or two ago, we started meeting every Thursday at noon via Zoom and going through, okay, what do we need? What are we thinking about doing? And then about a month ago, we kicked it up to 2 times a week. So we are having 2 Zooms that were dedicated to just the reunion. And the Zooms were about an hour. So there's a immense amount of work that has gone in from the alumni staff, and not even just the alumni staff. I mean, the whole staff, the program staff, the kitchen staff. I mean, everybody has found a role and done their job, and people haven't even arrived yet, and it's already a success.
Yeah, I kind of screwed. Big shout out to Kyle. I kind of screwed him over on this one. I did, because like I'm like, hey, we're gonna do this, and we talked about this, Kyle, a long time ago. I'm like, hey, number one, the first time you do it, 20 people. I'm like, you'll get. Like, I'm like, and that is making a stretch, because I just think it doesn't, you know, until it happens and, you know, people have a good experience, you won't have that many people. And then like a month ago, he's like, yeah, we're at like 75 or something like that, plus, you know, without their plus ones. And I'm like,
but to kind of comment on that, it's, and Johnny touched a little bit on this when he was talking, it's the nostalgia of Utah, of the Wasatch Mountains here, of walking up that staircase into the front door of Chateau. It's this place, and I don't think it's necessarily the structure of the place. I think it's the place with the setting and the people that are here that make this place so unforgettable and such a big part of everybody's recovery, that coming back is almost a no-brainer. It's, I've got to do it. I want to reconnect. I want to reconnect with people that have similar stories to me, that have been in the dark places that I've been and know how I felt. And I want to see how successful they've been. I want to tell them how big of a role they played in my recovery. And I want them to see how well I've done.
Well, that's like a key component there too, as well. If you think about it, is like, not only is this reunion for the alumni, which is the main portion, but a huge part of it, which is the unknown, is for the staff here as well. Like, you've got people that have been here a long time, and the amount of, you know, it's a tough job in a lot of different ways, whether it's burnout, you know, whether it's
thankless.
Thankless. Sometimes, yeah, it could be. It could be, depending.
Oftentimes a thankless job.
Yeah, depending. And for them to see a purpose and meaning is huge.
Absolutely. There, you know, I think when you're saying that, it instantly reminded me of when I'm at work and we see a patient, right? We fill out this report. Patient goes to the hospital. Up until a few years ago, we had no clue what took place. Like, how were we on track? What was the outcome? Man, we put a lot of work into this person. I'd like to know. And if you did not have an in at the hospital to be able to find out a little bit more of that patient, you know, hey, are they okay? You know, what more do they need? You didn't know. And then also kind of professionally to like maybe fine tune a little bit my skill set for the next patient. Well, now we have this capability where we get a report from the hospital and you see all the doctor's notes and everything like that, that kind of give you an update of where they're at. And it gives us that circle back, you know, of how that individual is doing. And I got to think that in the same way, that for folks that just pour their hearts into here on staff to see people come in smiling, the alumni. I'm happy to be here, excited. There was no way I was going to pass up on this opportunity. And then to make that connection again, I got to think that's probably pretty fulfilling to see your work come full circle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like specifically, it's interesting, you know, there's a few laws that are put in place of like what employees in mental health are able to do when like reaching out and like talking to people. Like a majority of the time, they're not allowed to. Like, unless it's in a work capacity, such as like an alumni coordinator or reaching out. So like you can't Facebook message and just chat. You can't, especially therapists, like you can't have an outside relationship with people. So it becomes really difficult for people to find out how people are doing. It's just like through the grapevine. So it definitely does. I mean, like just reminiscing on talking about 2020 with you. I remember the first day you came in and that.
You tell this story
yeah.
all the time.
No. I just love that. Yeah.
Guess what Austin was doing when I was checking into the house? Give me two guesses.
He only needs one.
He was golfing.
Yep.
It was a Sunday. I want to be very clear. Sunday.
That is your day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your golf day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just those. It's a good memory, man. And like, you don't live in those places. You don't live in those memories very often. And when you see people you haven't seen in a while. And like, I mean, I tell his story all the time too. He was an asshole to me the first time I drove him up. He basically gave me the middle finger and screamed at his phone for 45 minutes.
You know, and this is kind of a direction I want to go is you talk about the excitement of the alumni coming up. I'm excited for staff. Mm-hmm. I really am. To see what role they played in somebody's life when we walk in the door our first day at Chateau and our lives are, correct me if I put this wrong, but completely unmanageable. And that's why we've reached out for help. And we're walking in the door and they are seeing us at some of our darkest moments. To have them be able to see that, like Johnny said, come full circle and be able to sit down and maybe talk for 15, 20, 30 minutes with a client that they were, you know, often after that client left thinking about. Or wondering how they were doing or anything, and have that client come back up this weekend and share their experience. And the fact that they showed up speaks volumes to our program and to what our staff does and how talented our staff is.
Yeah, no, people don't know. Everyone drives.
That's what I was thinking with the, sorry, I interrupted you.
I was just going to say everyone drives about an hour to get up here to work. And they wonder where all that time in their lives have gone. It's this moment to the next 2 days is what they need.
It's that dedication. Yeah. And you talk about the nostalgia of Chateau. It's that kind of dedication. And, you know, I see in our company chat, so, hey, the pass on Deer Hollow is stop and go because it's covered in snow. It's going to be 3 hours. Some of our staff members drive an hour, but it turns into 4 or 5 hours with weather out here in the canyon. And that's dedication. And they come back day after day because they know they are doing something to make somebody else's life.
I think that's where maybe what I was really thinking when it was somewhat of a thankless, because Johnny described it really well. You don't really see the end game. You don't really see, you don't really know.
Yeah. People are thankful. I want to be, clear. Absolutely. Like, yeah.
But you're a link in the chain.
Yep.
Like, right. This is a link in that chain of that individual's life.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And, yeah. You described it much better than that was kind of where I was going with is the, mm-hmm. the staff. I mean, you just kind of, you make an impression, you hope it works, and
yeah.
move on to the next one. And the staff never, you know, seldom, unless your alumni support somehow involved in that, you seldom really know. And, because I know coming up here, talking to staff from time to time, say I ran into such and such, and it's always an eager, how are they doing? Which really tells me, you know, there's a disconnect there. They just don't know.
And to highlight Faith, I mean, she is so connected to our alumni that she genuinely, genuinely puts her heart into her job. And she is one of the main, her and Kyle are one of the two main reasons that this thing is already a success.
Yeah. I'm excited.
The No One Fights Alone podcast is excited to announce the launch of our new merchandise line. Now you can show your support for our mission by purchasing one of our hats, shirts, or hoodies. Our merchandise not only represents our brand and message, but also supports a great cause. A portion of all proceeds will go towards helping individuals and families affected by mental health. Wearing our merchandise not only spreads awareness for our podcast, but also serves as a reminder that no one has to fight alone. Join us in showing your support and spreading the message of hope and community by purchasing one of our No One Fights Alone items today from our website, nofapodcast.com, nofapodcast.com.
Well, let's circle back, because you were headed somewhere a while ago, and I kind of hit the timeout button to give John an opportunity to brag on his team. But your alumni piece, let's kind of circle back to where we were going with that. Your excitement about being here, you're living in this, you're kind of in this moment or this presence of gratitude. How does it feel to be back? I mean, right?
I don't want to go home.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to go home.
Right.
But I love it here. And I seem to always pick the time. I keep being, everybody keeps saying, hey, you keep showing up at the right time, because I was here last year as a resident. I showed up middle of April and went home Mother's Day of last year. And I think there was still snow on the ground, but everything was starting to break. And there was still the green tint on the hills, and the temps were right. They were perfect. So it's really nice to be back at around the same time frame. And what's funny is, when I was winding down my time here, part of my, I guess, my plan moving forward, how I was going to take care of myself, was every year I would take a month off from work and just do me, like do whatever I wanted to do. And that was to sleep, catch up on sleep, do all the kid things, like every sporting event, whatever they had going on. I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to take some time for myself, you know. Whether it was like riding my motorcycle or just getting outside, because that was a big thing that I rediscovered about myself here, was how much I love the outdoors. And so with that, I actually went skiing 3 times this winter, something I hadn't done in 20 years, and loved it. Like, just, you know, smiling ear to ear and getting after it this winter. But the other part of this self-care plan moving forward was to make my way back down here for a weekend or something like that. And while it didn't happen the way I thought it would, I got 3 weeks off. But I will consider this my 4th week off, because this took place and this was my avenue to get back down here. So it's funny. I thought it was going to go a particular way, but it went even a much better way. And it brought me home for a little bit. So, yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Love having you here. So your involvement, you're obviously involved in the alumni program.
Yes, sir.
What's your perspective on, you know, kind of the Kyle Faith and Elisa and John's alumni program? Cause you're involved in it, right?
I think, I am involved with it. It was rocky for me to start. I'll just be quite frankly. I did receive a couple phone calls and a couple reach outs. I think I was so scattered brain going home and trying to reintegrate and to figure out how to use my pocket full of tools, you know, moving forward with my life and my family. And again, and I think we all kind of do it, but I'll speak to me. Hey, I'm going to do this. I got this, you know. Hey, all right. Yeah, I learned a bunch of stuff. I took a time out, you know, took a knee, drink water. Cool. Let's move on. And start building a couple of relationships with dudes in the fire department that had went to a similar program elsewhere. And they're like, hey, man, we got you. We know where you've been. All right, cool. So some of those feelers are starting to go out, but I was beginning to do it alone, and I was touch and go, on our Wednesday nights. I was touch and go on our alumni nights, on Sunday nights. I think probably spanning from the time I came home to when I essentially hit, I started to go down this path again of, I guess the anger and the rage that is what led me here. I think you could probably count a handful of times how I would stop in on the alumni program or the first responder program. So fortunately I was wise enough to see those signs and started seeing how my family around me was reacting to my behavior. And I just said, nope, I'm not doing this again. I've put too much work into this. I'm not about to lose it all again. I'm done playing this game. I cannot do this alone. And that moment, that was another big turn for me in my recovery and just moving forward in my life. Admitting that, yep, I still have a ton of work to do. This is the work that when you leave Chateau, like this is where the real work begins. I think Ben has said that several times, you know, and during my time there, and you've probably heard that message before. Because this is a vacuum, you know, you're, and it's a good one, right? It's that time to, man, just open that sandwich and see what it's made of, you know, and figure it out. I had to swallow that pride and just admit, yep, I need to stay connected to the house, to Chateau. And I was going to make every meeting, at, whether it was the first responder or the alumni, my goal is both, but at least one of them. And then the group me app that we have, staying connected to that and seeing what people are saying, and then actually make an effort to respond to folks too and put into that, because people are putting into me as well. And I wanted to just be an active participant in that as well. And on a side note, we have, what'd you say, 76 ish people
on the group me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Active, what would you say?
Active, I would say there is 30, 35 that are very active on it.
Right. And I would almost bet that the others that are not very active are on there looking and they're learning. And there's an impact to them when they see what other people are going through. They're just not saying anything. So anyway, for myself... and knowing exactly what I needed, I needed to stay close. And this was how I was going to stay close when I was geographically, you know, apart from the area. So,
I mean, that's the big issue, man. The geographics. Like, it is. Let's be honest. I think there's so mental health treatment's relatively new, right? Like, as far as places like this, like, there's been substance abuse programs, you know, since the AA was created. Those are 12-step based programs, but which fosters what they say is the solution is community connection. Absolutely. You know, and that has been the biggest issue. And you hit the nail on the head. Like, geographically, when you have people from across different states come together and they become very, very close, and then they just separate again, like that, the recipe for success of community and connection, it drifts apart. I think we've just learned that's an, and then you bring COVID into it specifically. So remember, we started this because of COVID. Like, realistically, the conversation started around it was because, like, we'd had this, everyone knows the SLP and everything like that. Like, we had a very different one back then. Very, very different of a design of connection and community and fostering that. Well, that went away. So now, then we just started seeing people struggle a lot more immediately after, because all of those, you know, the recipe is destroyed. So it's an interesting thing you talk about, just because, like, even with people that, you know, there's a few guys in the fire service that you talked about, like, it's still difficult to foster that community and connection.
It is. And you know what? It's no fault to the program itself. When you leave here and you go home, there is a level of isolation that immediately happens. Yes. because you're not here, because you're not plugged in, and I can't just pop in whenever, I can't go see John and or go fish or something, like all those relationships that you build here, you scatter to the four winds. And it was vital for me to stay connected in the ways that are available to me, because without it, I have no link back to the place that helped me dissect what was going on inside. And I so badly wanted that, and I didn't know how to do that until I finally just sucked it up and said, this is what's available to me. This is what I'm going to do. And I jumped back in, and I think I've been pretty solid since.
Very solid.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Would you tell him the truth if he wasn't?
No, no.
Yeah. I mean, John definitely
and,
would.
And to kind of share my perspective on this is, Johnny's a classic case of somebody that comes out of our program. I mean, and we give them these tools, the GroupMe app, the Sunday Night Alumni Zoom, the Wednesday Night First Responder Zoom. And they start it for a little while, and they kind of get their feet wet. And then, I mean, life happens. Let's be realistic. You're not in that sterile environment of Chateau anymore. You don't have outside influences while you're here, you know, chirping you and telling you what you need to be doing, you should be doing. You're focused on yourself. And a lot of people kind of get overwhelmed and lost, and their recovery becomes a afterthought.
Or a binder on the shelf.
A binder on the shelf that, you know, or a memory that they went and did for 30 days. And with the alumni program, what we try to do is, and especially with myself, Faith, and Lisa, is we're not trying to be in your face, but we're trying to remind you that, hey, you took 30, 60, 90 days out of your life to reconnect. And really, when we look at our program, it's about reconnecting with yourself. It's about reconnecting with the person that either the job, a bad marriage, finances, life issues changed, and you didn't like the way they changed them. So all these problems arose out of that. And you come out here to Utah and you get to reconnect with that person that you want to be. Mm-hmm. And you touched a little bit about COVID. I mean, COVID, yeah, it was a bad time, but you got to think of all the great things that came out of COVID that are at our disposal right now that we use here at Chateau a lot. GroupMe, Zoom, Google Calendar, Google Meet. I mean, all that stuff has made our alumni program that much stronger because of that distance factor. You know, you got your roommate that you were at Chateau with lives in Oklahoma. I live in Minnesota. We can't see each other every day. And it comes to mind to me, I think about Roy Wall. I mean, he's one of my best friends, and I don't get to see him all the time. But, I mean, we video chat all the time. We're on the phone all the time. And it's just some of the things that we put in place here are very beneficial if the alumni uses them.
I still hate COVID. You're not gonna fuck COVID.
That's fair.
But I will.
But look who's further along in his recovery and can look at the bright so side.
You're doing so good. I'm so proud of you.
Gee, thanks, Brad.
Yeah. I
could. There's so
that
much
one.
Growth.
Yeah.
Post.
Yeah.
They call that PTG, right?
Post traumatic growth. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there's a great point in Johnny's oration of that. In that there's an intentionality that has to happen if you're going to want to do something different in your life. And you just described that. I was sitting here listening to you. Hey, this is on me. I'm the one that's going to have to do something about this. This is not going to just appear, you know, and I think you and John both commented on the fact that, yes, being in this space at Chateau is a vacuum. It's very protected, not from all things, but from most things, you're in a safe space away from those. And there's a lot of intentionality to that too, from Austin and the staff setting the tone for that, Ben and Danny setting the tone for that. But man, when you're kicked out and you're on new legs and you're no longer in that vacuum and life never slowed down while you were here. You just get back on that crazy merry-go-round and you're like, what in the world? Was it going this fast when I left? Because it's going really fast right now.
But to even point out, merry-go-round doesn't stop
right?
for you to get on.
Yeah.
You just jump on.
Yeah, you just jump on. And hope you land with your feet square.
Well, and let me say, too, like when I was looking at programs, because there's several other out there across the U.S., I wanted this one because of what I was learning about the aftercare. And I wanted follow-on, and I wanted I liked the smaller setting, right? And I liked the interaction it had with my family. Or my wife while being here. It was tough, but it was good. The things were there. It was up to me on what I was going to do with them. And I think that just footstomps what you're saying. You know, it's, you got to want it and you got to do it. Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a shout out to the family programming side. Is that what you're referring to? There's a little bit of a shout out there to the family programming side, which is another very, very deep and rich resource for our current residents and their family members at home. And that's, we can save that for another day. There's a lot to that, but yeah.
It'll never be good enough. No, it'll never be good enough, man.
It's because it's people driven.
Yeah. No, that's a personal thing, right? Like just the everlasting effects of your loved one going to treatment is like no family program unless you're there with them in some healthy way that would never be healthy can never be good enough. That's my personal belief.
Well, if you have 10,000 people
Yeah,
going to treatment, you got 10,000 different perspectives at home telling you how they think it should run.
Well, also too, I mean, like I know both you guys know this very, or all three of you know this very well. Is like, there's a lot of apprehension from them, your family. Once you come home, is like, how different are you going to be? Is the different going to be good? Is the different going to be bad? To where now they don't want to be with me anymore, or they are going to change?
Better be fixed.
Oh, we're fixed. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah,
are you done with your vacation?
Yeah. Then there's a lot of verbiage, and then you know. No, I, the spouse or the loved one or the family is holding it together while you're gone too. If you have children or if you have finances or other things. So then there's also at times a sense of jealousy is what I'm going to call it with quotations.
Yeah,
resentment. And part of that is no matter what you tell them you do here, you're on vacation.
What about me?
Yeah, yeah.
What about, but I think the plus side. Because I live with your crap.
Yeah.
While you did all the things that you did, and then you went and supposedly got helped or got fixed, and you come home and you're not dialed in just yet or ever, right? Yeah.
It's a huge piece, man.
It is.
And that's, well,
and then we were even, we were talking this morning in a meeting, we were talking about, you know, you may be getting 97% right, but the 3% you get wrong, that's going to get pointed out to you, you know, when you're, and that's part of that family piece of the fear and trepidation of, oh, no, we're going backward, you know.
Going with this family piece and kind of connecting the two topics we've been talking about here, that was a big piece for me when I came up with the alumni reunion thing is, okay, they got to at least have a plus one to come out with them, because we can go home as alumni clients of Chateau and talk about it, talk about the people, talk about the house, talk about Midway Utah in general, the beauty of it. And your family members, like, just like you said, oh, nice vacation, nice vacation. And that's where I wanted to build that piece in of, okay, hey, you can bring one other person and maybe bring, and that's how I described it to the first responder alumni Zoom, was bring that person that was influential in you pushing you to go seek help. Bring them out and show them what it was like, you know, where you're describing when you came home, and let them feel like they're a part of your.
Yeah. And let them see what you experienced a little bit, you know, if possible for them. Right. Cause I remember having a conversation with you, John, when both of us shared an experience of our family being like, oh, fuck, he's going again. What's this going to do? Yep. You know, like, yeah. Oh, I went and gone quite a few more times than two. Yeah. Yeah. Granted, it's been 10 years, but it's quite a few more. Yeah.
Well, I feel like this has been a great conversation. We've kind of circled in and honed in on some of the alumni stuff that Chateau presents. And John, thank you for that. Thank you for what you do, man. You make
it's
a difference, know, in a lot of people.
To be honest with you, I do it because it keeps me accountable. It keeps me accountable to my recovery. It keeps me centered in what recovery is about. And it is very, we kind of had a talk about this, Johnny and I, as we were driving from the airport through the pass. It's that opportunity, and I tell these first responders alumni that you're going to get the opportunity. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and your recovery is going good, you are going to get that opportunity to pay it forward. And it's the opportunity for me to see all those opportunities that I had to pay it forward come back and tell me how well things are going. So it's a very humbling job for me. It is very, it's something that I do out of love. It is, it honestly.
Well, thank you for what you do. And Johnny and I actually were visiting at lunch, and you actually said something very similar about on personal to your that these opportunities just seem to present themselves to have conversations, and next thing you know, we're in a talk.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it amazing how that works?
It's just, yeah. And I don't know if rumors out there that, hey man, he went to camp and he's back, and you know, let's talk to him about it. But it is amazing that the opportunities that present themselves, and folks just puke up all that they're carrying. And to be able to just sit and listen is a privilege. That somebody trusts me enough to share those things, you know, and then if they're interested in just a little bit of insight that I might have on that, or coming from, hey, here has been my experience, and here's how I struggle with that, and here's how I am working through that currently, you know, it has made some very meaningful relationships, both in my professional and personal life, in ways that I never thought it would. So, again, just circling back, just an immense amount of gratitude for this place. And
those, I find those will continue to happen. Under certain circumstances, for the rest of your life, you will be presented with these options or these opportunities as you continue to do the right thing and as you continue to grow and heal. And then they'll come in different ways. When you're 10 years down the road, I've noticed this, that the conversations are much different, but that it's almost tailored to where you're at, right? Like, and I've talked to thousands of people about this. Like,
that makes sense. Yeah. Because yeah. I think I can even see that now with just recent conversations I've had. I'm like, yeah.
My sponsor says he has, and he's been sober a long time, but he helps put a lot of perspective to this entire recovery for me. And he says people would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. And I think the impact of that, I've been witness to that in my own journey, where people show up and say, I see you're different. Or I see the impact that that's made, and I want you to talk to a friend, or, hey, do you have a minute so we can talk? And, you know, those opportunities are, just like Austin said, we have choices in that. Can we take the time? Do we blow them off? Do we give them superficial, or do we actually slow our life down enough to say, I hear you and I see you?
Yeah, and it's nice to see when an individual comes to that point where they're saying, okay, I'm ready for help. What do I do?
Brings me back to a conversation you and I have had over the years. it's okay to not be okay. And once you as an individual show the strength and throw that hand up and go, hey, over here, I need some help. Mm-hmm. You give other people strength to do the same thing just by your own journey.
So true.
You never know who's watching, man.
Exactly.
That's the interesting piece. True. Yeah. 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 I've got people from 15 years ago that suddenly reach out and been like, I know what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Let's have a go. You know what I mean? Like, your aura is different, your energy or whatever, right? Like, as we get older, we go gray, we go bald, whatever it is. But, like, the energy and aura still is there for people.
I wanted the listeners to notice that you pointed to John and not me on gray. And do yourself
on bald. It's not even gray anymore. It's white.
You pointed to John on gray. Thanks. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah,
keep sorry, going. Indians don't go gray.
I thought, yeah. I mean, it brings me back to a conversation you and I had about you can do one of two things with your recovery. You can silently work your recovery, or you can be an advocate of your recovery. And, I mean, when you came down up to Minnesota, I gave you tour around our department, and I mean, I don't hide the fact that I struggled. I was very lost for a while, and I don't hide that fact from guys I work with, from the younger guys that I work with. And Austin that afternoon pulled me aside and went, it's unbelievable how open you are with the fact that you went and got help.
Well, I think there's a tremendous growth that comes with the share.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting goosebumps because I remember that so this was also quite a few years back, 4 or 5 years back, where first responder treatment there is still stigma quite a bit. There was even more back then. And so in my experience in working here and in the field, it was like, it was still very much hush hush. So when we walked through John's office and he's like, hey, these are the guys from Utah. Remember? You know, I went out to Utah forever. Like, these are the guys from that place. And they're like, oh, yeah, hey, how's it going? Oh, yeah, John, yeah, yeah. And I remember just being like, this is the first time I've walked, because I walked through hundreds of departments at this point. Like, that was the first time that I'd walked through one where someone was like, hey, yeah, this is the place I went to. If you guys remember, I was gone for a while. Like, and I remember like feeling a little weird. Because it was the first time I experienced that. So I kind of looked down and like looked away, like, you know, but little goosebumps. Because I remember that was the first time. And that's happened more often now from different areas. But that was a pivotal moment in my thought process in first responder treatment of like, oh, wait, what's happening here? Like, somebody told everyone where they were. Because it used to be like, oh, I didn't tell my department. I'm on sick leave.
And there's still some of that.
Yes, of course. There's still some of that. Of course. I want to be very clear. That is very still the predominant way. Like that, especially like Midwest-ish, you know, that's definitely still very much. So West Coast and Far East Coast have been a little bit more open.
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate to work for a department that's been very supportive. And even from folks that I never thought, you know, would be. I thought that you need to go somewhere else, go work at that slower spot, or go whatever, just disappear. And no, hey man, go do what you need to do, and we're excited to have you back when you're ready.
You know, this kind of brings me to thought. I as we're kind of wrapping up, I was going to say a shout out of how proud we are collectively. I think I can speak for all of us in this space of the Chateau folks, but I wouldn't leave off the table of how much courage it takes to actually go anywhere. So if you're listening to this and you've been to a facility and you're an alumni with similar to the conversation we've been talking about, we're proud of you for going and being bold enough to say, hey, I want something different for my life, and taking enough intentionality to actually move on that. We're proud of you for doing that. And we just want to say to our Chateau alum, we look forward to seeing you this weekend. Any shout outs to that? You guys want to say anything to that?
Long, long process in planning this, and I'm glad the planning's over, and it's time to make it happen.
And you two knuckleheads are fixing to get married.
Yes.
Right yeah. on. Yep. John, love you. Johnny, you love you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
Chateau Health and Wellness is a 16-bed treatment facility nestled in the foothills of the Wasatch Mountains in Midway, Utah. Chateau's First Responder Resiliency Program is designed to treat the unique challenges and issues that first responders encounter in the course of their careers. Chateau's comprehensive and highly individualized approach to treatment addresses more than just the presenting issues. It addresses the why. Each of their seasoned, trauma-trained, and culturally competent therapists utilize evidence-based, specialized therapies to treat trauma at its core and enable clients to begin the healing process while developing a resilient and healthy relationship with stress. Chateau Health and Wellness is trusted by departments and agencies from around the country to treat responders and veterans. In fact, it is one of only a handful of facilities nationwide that is vetted and approved to treat members of the Fraternal Order of Police. For more information or to speak to a representative, go to chateaurecovery.com or call 888-507-5031.